Welcome back. If you've just tuned in, you're 30 minutes late. We start the program at 5 minutes after the hour, but thanks for joining me. Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate Hour, phone number 564-1290, 564-1290, or after the program, 898-4242, also at RadioRealEstate.com. You can actually hear the program itself if you missed the first half. Talking with developer John Blankenship, who stays down below, building high number of units. We'll talk about a project over on Veronica Springs and inclusionary housing. Do want to mention that Barry Bonds turned 41 July 24th, and he had candles in the shape of syringes, which was really, I thought, in bad taste. And also, a recent vote, Democrats in the House voted in favor of Bush's plan to return to the moon. But they later rescinded their vote because they misunderstood and thought the plan was to send Bush to the moon. So get over it, he won. Okay. That's enough of that. So what we're at here is this inclusionary housing. What's the threshold? Let's define inclusionary housing and you avoid it. Why?
Well, I'm a capitalist, and I really believe that with the city with 4,200 affordable units, that's probably plenty. For me, I just really believe in market rate housing, because people then, if they buy the house, they get the appreciation and they're in the game, as they say. The affordables are always controlled, and so it's just something that goes against my philosophy. So the threshold in the city of Santa Barbara is at 10. So if you build 10 units, then you need to have one of those affordable, and then they give you a bonus density and so on. So my magic number is single digit, 9 and below.
And mostly below. And if you missed earlier, you're looking to get into that, what we call the entry-level market. So it's not as if you're just looking necessarily to just go high end and charge as much as you can get.
Right. I understand there's about 200 condos coming somewhere in the stream of that's going to be built in the city, and most of those are going to be higher end. For me, I want to be at the low end. So I've been looking at dirt, which now goes, what I call dirt lots, any R3 lot, is roughly about $100 a square foot. Now, 4 years ago when I was buying that dirt, I was paying $30 to $40 a square foot. There's a lot of dirt on the market right now, little lots, but they're $125, $150 a square foot, and that doesn't pencil out for me. So to build entry-level condos, I need to find something at about $100 a square foot.
Now, if the city is, and everyone should be, the city says they're concerned about affordable housing, so they demand this inclusionary housing, which forces the developer to offer this. Does that mean that the cost of that is spread out to the other people?
That's affirmative, and you're basically giving away one unit, and then it becomes really difficult because do they pay the same homeowner fee that everybody else does? Do they
don't
also
pay the same taxes?
Which unit is it? Is it finished the same as the other ones? And so a lot of complications to it, and I'd just rather not deal with it. I want to build houses, the condos that are affordable for my Santa Barbara standards, which is really $700,000 is a lot of money.
Right.
I mean, who can afford to pay for a $700,000 condo when you need $200,000 or whatever down payment? That's not everybody can do that.
Well, the essence is that you're saying is that people get in the game. If they can get in the game in a market rate, even if it's the smallest, cheapest, littlest thing, over time, yes, there are cycles, but over time, real estate has always appreciated, as this chart that I have, you know, indicates. So if they can just get in the game,
yes.
They can't get in the game, then a lot of people feel that affordable housing should be built as rentals. And the city does have a strong, great program going for building affordable rentals for people who need, you know, qualify for that. But the inclusionary housing part ends up in, isn't it skirting the laws that we mentioned briefly earlier, the zoning, the downzoning, to prevent high density? They're adding density and encouraging someone to go, well, let's build, you know, more, and then we'll get this. It's kind of skirting the zoning, the density laws.
And then your neighbors, they throw a fit because they really don't want the affordable housing next to them. So you find that everybody wants it somewhere else. It all sounds wonderful, but when it's in your backyard, people come out against it. if you have a whole lot of affordable units.
So you received a lot of flack if on that Garden Street project, if you'll pardon the pun.
Oh, yeah.
Flack. Do you get that?
Yeah. And as Mickey with an S on it? Yes, I do.
So you abandoned the project, but yet you just casually mentioned that there are 200 units, you know, in the pipeline. We talked about Bill Levy has maybe 40-plus units on Chapala, Bramant, another almost 30, 14 on De La Guerra. So all these things are going on, but no one, where's the protest or how come they're sailing through?
Well, you know, I don't know if they really are. I mean, you've got a fellow out there on Veronica Springs. They're not condos, but Mark Lee trying, he's been 6 years trying to do, 26 houses, and it keeps getting down less and less. And he's got some affordable units, and he's got building a bridge and redoing the creek. And after 6 years, he still gets denied. I mean,
but
he
has the majority of the neighbors are behind him, or
Well, he's half of the planning commission's behind him, and Jonathan McGuire, the head of the planning commission. There's a lot of people that see that this is the man's certainly paid his dues, and but he is still doesn't have a project, and he tries to do whatever they ask him to do, and then when he comes back after having done that, then they change it again. And so that's one of the things that's really hard. And you have the creek people, which are just really extremely difficult
to deal with. But he's proposing to actually fix
really clean up the creek.
Clean it up, but they don't want
a
private person doing it? There was something to that?
Well, yeah, I don't know why. I mean, it's private money, and he would do just as good a job as anybody would do. And he's a bridge. You're just... Just the entry level on a bridge has got to be $50,000 or more. So, I mean, he's willing to do a lot of things, but I say the jury's out on whether he's going to ever be successful in this.
And this is in the county, but he wants the city to annex it.
No, it's in the city, so it's Veronica Springs. It's right there off Las Positas.
There's a piece of it. Something with the city needing to annex.
The planning commission is where he goes.
The city planning that he's going to.
Yeah. Hmm. So he's been in the process longer. I thought normally for us it's 2 years in the process, and then you spend the next 2 years trying to get it built and so on after you get your entitlements. So
you know, it just gets back to this balance where we want to respect private property rights. Someone is zoned for something. You know, if you don't like the way it's zoned, they should change the zoning and change the law rather than have someone follow rules like you did on Garden Street for 3 years and then just keep getting appealed on personal things rather than the legal aspects of construction. And it, you know, at least if you know where you stand from the beginning, you say, okay, I'll buy this project, I'll go this path. That's the thing we want to avoid because, you know, it's crowded in Santa Barbara. You go up to Five Points, you go up to certain areas, it's congestion. The Upper State Street, Outer State Street, they want to develop that. Do you have any take on that? I mean, people are up in, I mean, it's just so crowded already.
I know.
Are they going to do more density up there?
Well, you know, how dense can it get? The thing is that is a seeming like a disaster area. You don't drive up there because you can't get through. One of the things that, and I agree with the Commissioner McGuire on this, is that if people live there and work there, that's how you cut down on traffic. Right now, people don't live there so much. You've got your along the State Street. So they're looking to try to put condos there instead of all commercial. And so Bermant's the only fellow right now that's done one at the corner of Bath, and he sold those out for around $1 million. But there haven't been a whole lot of condos, but there's a lot of them on the books now. But I don't know what the neighborhood opposition's going to be.
Just go out to Kyrial and shop at Albertson's Trader Joe's there, and it's like you're on another planet compared to going down to Trader Joe's on De La Vina or to Five Points, try to find a parking spot. It's like two different worlds, and that's why I guess the people out in Goleta are trying to preserve. I mean, it's like another world.
Yes.
It's like another planet.
Oh, yeah. It's really a hard one because everybody's getting tired of driving. Everybody's getting tired of the congestion. Cars dominate our society now. It's like the guys, the Cars Are Us that came against Levy and Entrada. It's like... Cars are basic. That was it. When are we going to get away from everybody having three cars? I mean, you can only drive one of them at a time, but that's the average for California is three cars per family for two people. And I'm guilty of that. I've got three, although I ride a motor scooter 5 days a week and ride my bike on the weekend. I hate driving, and I'm a Southern California guy that grew up with cars. But now I don't like driving anywhere. But I can park my scooter anywhere.
Right, and you get around.
And it's like Rome. You go to Rome, and there's 40,000 scooters out there. It's just people. This is how people get around. Of course, gallon of gas is $7 in Italy. So
that'll motivate you.
That'll motivate you. Then that's what I think will probably happen here. Gases just keep going up.
I barely get up the stairs to the second-story studio. I'll be looking forward to going down to the first floor over on Santa Barbara Street, so I'm not going to be getting on a bicycle anytime soon. But so everyone's complaining about it, you're going to build condos so people don't have to drive to Upper State Street, but the people who are going to buy those condos are going to come up from L.A. The people who still live in town still want to shop on State Street. I don't know if that's going to solve it.
Yeah, it's just a really hard one, because will people that are commuting here, say from Ventura, be able to buy a condo on Upper State so that they're not making that commute? I mean, there's an argument either side.
Yeah,
people fleeing out of L.A., if they're the ones that come in, then it hasn't solved anything. So
which leads back to my opposition to this inclusionary housing and this affordable housing, because it's not as if we're turning around and saying to John Policeman, who's put in 20 years and he's just never been able to get in the market, and say, you know what, this guy, let's give him a break. But you can't do that. You can't. It's not exclusionary.
No.
You know, it's include whatever it is. Someone from LA whose dad has a big down payment and he's 20 years old, he's going to get on that list because he has no income and his dad's got the big down payment and he's moving to Santa Barbara in an affordable unit.
Right. And who plays God? Who makes the choice? That's the hard one for me to determine.
Ed Moses. He's playing God.
That is he. Okay. Well,
what's his title? He's the county housing czar?
Yeah.
And what he wants to do is, along with like what we talked about last week with the sewer laterals, is everyone looks at people who are closing escrow, and most of them, a lot of people making some good appreciation and big money, just let's, you know, pick in and say, well, let's take out some money to fix the sewer. Let's take out some money. He wanted to increase the documentary transfer tax. And everyone is taking out from that pie. I had an after-the-show caller who suggested, the proposition by the Board of Realtors for these sewer laterals is to fix them by grids, which a lot of cities do. And after the show caller said, well, I got some people who just don't have the money, though. And he suggested, you know, just put a lien on their house, let the city front it. And then eventually, if and when it sells, they can get paid back. I mean, that'd be one way to, because it's just going to be a nightmare, I think, doing it, you know, just trying to do a close of escrow deal.
Yeah. They used to float bond issues for that, and do all the improvements, and then the bond would finally get paid down and from the municipality. But nowadays, it's like they're looking for more, raise the fees.
Right.
Every entity out there, whether it be the city, county, is trying to figure out ways to raise the fees. And the city of Santa Barbara is now really looking at everything. So.
Well, we didn't get to your own personal remodel, but we've... We pretty much run out of time.
All right.
Now, you could stick around. We're going to take a break. We'll come back for the fourth quarter. Unless Jaron lets me go into overtime, I'll keep talking. But the program will be ending shortly. We'll come back for the fourth segment. I'll do my weekly sales update, new for the week and some year-to-date stuff. And, John, you're welcome to stick around, but our discussion is over.
Appreciate
it. You're welcome to stick around and listen. Mark, John, thank you so much.
All right.
Let me shake your
hand. It was a pleasure.
We'll see you next time. Mark Schneidman's
right.
Radio Real Estate. Again, RadioRealEstate.com. After the program, 898-4242. Stay tuned. We'll come back for the weekly sales update.